Elizabeth Elliot says, there's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of more than 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and Shadow of the Almighty, helping you face your day with a godly attitude. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about a love strong enough to hurt. In my last talk, we considered one of the big hurts in life, divorce. And I read a part of a card that I had received from a woman who had been recently divorced. I want to read you a little bit more of what she said there. As the time of year approaches when we begin talking about going home for the holidays, these things become even more real to me. Where is my home, ultimately? My home is where Christ is. My apartment has become a home because I share it with Him. As I've worked to make it a comfortable place to be, I've discovered new ways of expressing the gift of hospitality that He has nurtured in me through the years. God has made a home for me in order to share that home with others. The title that I've just given my talk is A Love Strong Enough to Hurt. Did you ever get a spanking from either your mother or father, and then they said to you, "This hurts me more than it hurts you"? Did you believe them? No child ever believes that, does he? But when that child becomes the parent, he knows that it is absolutely true. Have you ever thought about the fact that when we hurt, God hurts? We read in Isaiah 53, He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That should be a transforming truth for us, to realize that we don't suffer alone, that we don't suffer anything that God Himself does not share with us. And if God allows us to be hurt, then God knows that He Himself is also going to be hurt. Would He do it lightly? Would He do it without deep and eternal reasons? He never does anything for nothing. He would never allow anything to touch us except what comes through His loving permission. So this business of a love strong enough to hurt deals with the very love of God. God loves us enough to say no. He loves us enough to allow us to be hurt, as any wise father has to allow his child sometimes to be hurt. He, in fact, has to inflict the hurt sometimes in the form of a spanking, depriving the child of dessert, sending him to bed early. The child cries. He's hurt. He doesn't understand why his father is doing this. And his father can only say, "This hurts me worse than it hurts you. Someday you'll know that it was for your good." The loss of somebody we love, whether by death or divorce or otherwise, brings us to the brink of the abyss of mystery. If we wrestle, as most of us are forced to do, with the question of God in the matter, we're bound to ask why He found it necessary to withdraw such a good gift. We will not get the whole answer, but certainly one answer is the necessity of being reminded that wherever our treasure is, there will our hearts be also. If we put all our eggs into the basket of earthly life and earthly affections, we haven't much left when the basket falls. Christians, being citizens of another country, subjects of a heavenly king, are supposed to set their affections there rather than here, a lesson few of us learn without mortal anguish. It's a lesson that I have thought I had learned, not once, but several times, and I find that it has to be reviewed again and again. Sheldon Van Auken's love for his wife, Davy, as he writes in A Severe Mercy, was an all-consuming love, passionate, romantic, and, as his friend C.S. Lewis pointed out to him, selfish. In their pre-Christian days, a short-sighted view of happiness led them to exclude all others, to the point of Van Auken's refusal even to allow children to mar what he and Davy had. When they became Christians, he began to feel that she was holier than necessary, and he began to see God as his rival. They had set up what they called a shining barrier between them and all that might come between them and their love. A child he saw as a threat to the unity and the oneness that they had. So when he began to see God as his rival, because he had a sneaking suspicion that his wife Davy loved God more than she loved him, that was a dangerous position. She was, as he said, holier than necessary. So one night, as he tells in his book, Davy offered up her life for her husband in order that his soul might be fulfilled. Hadn't they had all that anyone could ask for fulfillment? Davy knew they hadn't. She had found her fulfillment in Christ, and she longed that her husband should find his there. It was a drastic prayer that she prayed, one that she knew would cost her something. Have you ever prayed prayers which you discovered later cost a high price? It did cost her something. God accepted her surrender, and exactly a year later, she died. A strange answer, someone would say, the end of a perfect marriage. Stripped at last of the object of a passion that had shut out all else, Van Auken did, through much anguish, find the fulfillment for which Davy had prayed. Her death was what his friend Lewis called a severe mercy. Is it possible that God sometimes takes from us a love for someone else because we love too much? I really don't think so. Surely it's impossible to love too much, for love is from God, who is love. Usually, I think we love too little and too sentimentally. Our love, God-given though it be, is usually mixed up with possessiveness and selfishness. It needs strengthening and purifying. Human love is often inordinate, which means disorderly, unregulated, unrestrained, not limited to the usual bounds. If we love someone more than we love God, it's worse than inordinate. It's idolatry. And idolatry, you know, we're told in Scripture, is a very great sin. When God is first in our hearts, all other loves are in order and find their rightful place. If God is not first, other loves, even those which are in no sense sexual, easily turn into self-gratification and therefore destroy both the lover and the beloved. Van Auken had constructed a world for himself and the woman he loved and thrown up around it what they called the shining barrier. Shutting out all else, they determined to make things work their way. It was a rigid structure, perilously maintained, and when Christ came into their lives, it cracked. Any man who falls on that stone will be dashed to pieces, says Luke in chapter 20, verse 18. And if it falls on a man, he will be crushed by it. Lewis helped Van Auken to see that his very agony was the mercy of God. In his mercy, God stands silently by and permits us to agonize. In other words, he loves us enough, strongly enough, irresistibly enough, to allow us to be hurt. When a mother has to see her little boy go off to school for the first time, she knows that he may be bullied. She knows that he may be lonely. She knows that he may cry the minute he gets in the door and realizes that Mama is not there. If that child is going to learn independence and become a man, he will have to be hurt. For you and me, God desires maturity, spiritual strength, a sinewy, robust faith which can resist the blows that life will deal out. He must allow us to be hurt in order to come to know him. In order to experience that mercy, which may be truly severe. Francis Thompson's poem, The Hound of Heaven, describes a lonely man's attempt to flee him and to find solace elsewhere. Do you remember the poem? I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind. And in the midst of tears, I hid from him. Then he goes on to tell how he tried romantic love. He tried the love of children. He tried nature. And in each case, he felt that he was rejected. Romantic love rejected him. Children rejected him. Even nature seemed cold and distant. While still with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, deliberate speed, majestic instancy, came on the following feet. At last the hound chases him to earth. He hears a voice around him like a bursting sea, which says, All which I took from thee, I did but take not for thy harms, but that thou shouldst seek it in my arms.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.